5:31, the home stretch of downtown on a Wednesday afternoon. Time for us to talk a little Red Sox, and to do that, we get on board the telephone line and welcome in Sean McAdam of MassLive, MassLive.com. Hello there, Sean.
Rich, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. You got to get a little quality time with Craig Breslow. How did that go?
Well, he was mostly talking about the extension for Sidan Raffaello, which was officially confirmed and finalized earlier today, and just spoke a little bit about the importance of trying to lock up some young players here, as they've done twice now in the last month between Brian Bello and Raffaella. So just general concepts and thoughts about that deal and what it is they like about Raffaella and what led them to be willing to invest $50 million in a player that has only been in the big leagues for about 2 months.
Yeah, so obviously this is a little bit out of the ordinary. We haven't seen the Red Sox do that much in recent years, but now two of these deals with young players. Is this, I don't want to say a rebuilding process, but is this also part of getting this team back to where it wants to be and making sure that the young talent doesn't slip away or doesn't reach a point where they'll lose team control?
Yeah, I think it's probably more about that. You know, it doesn't change anything for the foreseeable future. Both of these guys would have been under control through, I think, 2028 and 2029 or 30. So they were going to be here for a while if the Red Sox chose to have them. They would have that sort of control over them in terms of service time. But in each case, they bought out at least two potential free agent years. And that all happens, you know, kind of in the prime of those two players' careers as they're getting into their mid to late 20s and even hitting 30. That's the career arc of a baseball player where you're going to get your best performance. And I think they're also mindful of the fact that, you know, two other homegrown superstars in recent years were unable to work out deals to keep them here. Mookie Betts, which resulted in a trade in his final year of control, and Xander Bogaerts, though he did sign one extension, didn't sign another and ended up leaving via free agency. So they know that's a painful thing for the fan base to see players that they've identified with and grown up with and rooted for all of a sudden leaving and going elsewhere. So they're trying to avoid those kind of problems down the line.
Yesterday, the home opener at Fenway Park, and we'll talk about the game a little bit, but as always, they still do a wonderful job putting on a great ceremony, and it was so terrific to see that 04 team, the championship team, but especially the chance to see Tim Wakefield, Stacy Wakefield, and Larry Lucchino as well, celebrated for their contributions.
Yeah, certainly a bittersweet ceremony at the beginning. It's always good to see the 2004 team come back and get the kind of recognition that that you know is coming to them. They'll forever be, I think, in many ways, the most popular Red Sox team ever because of what they achieved, when they achieved it, and frankly, against whom they achieved it. If, you know, if they'd come back from 0-3 against the Minnesota Twins, it wouldn't have been quite as dramatic, but so that's always a special moment when those guys come back and the emotion that surrounds that. And then you add in the tributes to Tim and Stacy Wakefield, as you noted, and the recent passing of Larry Lucchino. And, you know, let's not forget Jimmy Williams, who managed here for a period of about 5 years and also was passed away a couple of months ago. And he, too, was honored. So a day of remembrance. Of remembering what happened 20 years ago and saluting the lives of some people who were pretty central to all of that and what's gone on recently.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. Well, the road trip to open the season went better than I think anybody could have expected. 7-3, largely very solid outings from the starting pitchers. Not quite so good yesterday, but 11 games in, despite the 7-1 loss, at least on the field, they have to be pretty happy with the way the pitching has worked out thus far.
Yeah, that was certainly the number one issue and concern when the season started. You know, before you even get out of spring training, you lose the guy who you had penciled in to be your opening night starter in Lucas Giolito. So that's a tough one. But you're right that just about every start, except maybe one in the first 10 games, was a quality starter very close to it, with pitchers regularly giving them 5 and 6 innings and limiting the opponent to just a run or two. No telling whether that kind of performance can keep up for the entire season, but certainly welcome even in the first 10 days of the season, and getting them off to a little bit of a surprising start, as you noted. And I think, you know, with a team that, let's face it, not a lot of people have expected much from, when you have some unexpected success early, sometimes that gives young players a little bit of confidence and makes them feel better about themselves, and they build on that. So maybe that 10-game swing to start the year, during which they went 7-3, as you noted, could have some carryover effect and provide them with a little momentum here in the first month.
And among those guys who've played well early on, Tyler O'Neill, who looks remarkably like what we saw from Adam Duvall at the beginning of last season.
Yeah, I think the Red Sox are hoping there's no broken wrist coming up in the next few days, as happened with Duvall in Game 8, I think it was, in Detroit last year. But O'Neill has certainly emerged as the most pleasant surprise offensively in the first couple of weeks. 6 home runs, including another one yesterday in his very first game here as a member of the Red Sox at Fenway. They made that deal with St. Louis to get themselves a right-handed bat in the outfield. They were very left-handed with Duran and Yoshida and Abreu, and he balances that out. And now with Trevor Story out for the season, O'Neill's role takes on an even bigger significance, because he's going to be now the guy who bats in between Devers and Casas and provides a little protection there and a little balance in the top half of the lineup. I don't think he's going to continue with his homer every other game pace for the rest of the year. If he does, we have quite a story on our hands. But certainly he is shot out of the gate here in impressive fashion.
And I think everybody assumed that Connor Wong would get the majority of starts behind the plate, but Alex Cora has gone with a hot hand, and Reese McGuire has certainly responded well.
Yeah, he has. And that's a development that really nobody saw coming in spring training. It was, the expectation was that Wong would be the guy who would carry most of the catching responsibilities, as he did a year ago. But McGuire dedicated himself to getting into some better shape in the offseason. He reported to Fort Myers, I think, in January, and started working on his swing and getting a little better physical condition. And you can see the difference. So whether it's a strict platoon from here on out, or they mix and match depending on who they want catching particular pitchers, that'll all play itself out, but it's nice to have more than one option back there. And McGuire is giving them, some production at a position that, frankly, they didn't get much last year. Wong's contributions were more defensive, but on a team that is already down Trevor Story and could probably use as much offense as it can get, that's welcome coming from the catcher spot.
Well, speaking of Trevor Story, well, you have to feel bad on a personal level for him, a guy who worked so hard to get back in the offseason, had been a leader of that infield unit in the early stages of the season. We saw the difference his defense could make already. That's a killer to lose him and see him lose an entire year.
Yeah, very frustrating for him. He thought that finally this was going to be the season here in Boston where he had a full year and was healthy and had a normal off season and all of that. And then, a freak accident in the, whatever it was, 6th or 7th game of the year wipes out his season with surgery due later in the week. And you probably, and so do your listeners, saw the emotion that he was dealing with post-game yesterday, just choking back tears as he dealt with the reality of not being able to play again. And you know, we forget sometimes, I think. We get caught up in the kind of money these guys make and the lifestyles that they lead, that they're human, and that what draws them to play the game initially is not the riches and not the fame and adulation, but their love of the game and their camaraderie with their teammates and the bond they feel. And you take that away, and you know, it's a big emotional loss, and Story was still trying to process it yesterday.
So what's the plan going forward at shortstop?
Well, do you have your glove with you, Rich? They're going to mix and match for the time being. I don't think they're going to do anything dramatic. Certainly, they're not going to rush Marcelo Meyer to get here before he handles his responsibilities first at AA and then at AAA. So maybe later in the year, I suppose, that's a possibility. It's hard if you're a team to go out and address that need. I mean, it's not as if teams have extra starting shortstops that they're willing to deal to you in the first week of April. So you have to use what you have, and what they have is some flawed players who they're going to try to maximize their performance with platoon advantages. So, you know, you're going to see some left-right balancing at both second base and shortstop. Romy Gonzalez, who's got, you know, 3 years of service time with the White Sox, is going to get the start tonight. It was David Hamilton yesterday. That's going to be a pretty strict platoon left and right, and it'll be the same thing at second base with Emmanuel Valdez and
Pablo Reyes.
Pablo Reyes, right.
And they don't seem to have any interest in moving Rafaela to short?
It doesn't seem so, and I think that would probably be the best move here, realizing that you're going to sacrifice some defense by replacing Rafaela with Duran in center. To me, I'd rather have Duran playing at his next best position than to be counting on David Hamilton or Romy Gonzalez to handle shortstop. But I think they've decided that would just be fixing one issue and creating another, and they want to see Rafaela continue in center field. So I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm sure there'll be games where, you know, they pinch hit or pinch run and moves happen and he'll move into short and somebody will move over and replace him in center, but I don't think you're going to see him starting there a whole lot.
And now the injury to Nick Pivetta, who had been pitching so well in his first couple of starts, are they confident this will be a short stay on the IL?
Yeah, that's the tack they're taking now. They believe that the imaging that they've seen and the testing they've done is that it's just some inflammation there, and that with the requisite amount of rest and treatment, he'll be okay in a couple of weeks. I myself, anytime you hear flexor strain or you know, or anything connected to the elbow, your antenna go up, particularly in the year 2024, where it seems like every third pitcher is going down with some sort of elbow injury and headed for the surgeon's table. They insist that is not one of those, that he'll be back before too long. So, you know, the proof will be in the pudding here. But from Craig Breslow to Alex Cora to Pivetta himself, they all seem pretty confident that this is minor and temporary.
The manager looks great. The TV crew was talking about him running 17 miles the other day. This looks to me like a guy who wants to look good when he goes on job interviews in the off season.
That may not be too far from the truth. You know, I think I've said before, as we sit here in early April, I have a hard time imagining Alex Cora back in that dugout again this time next year. Stranger things have happened, and, you know, maybe this team overachieves a little bit. He and Breslow develop a good working relationship, and there is an extension in the offing, but I think that a combination of Breslow maybe wanting to have his own people there that he selected, and Cora seeing the kind of money that Craig Counsell got when he marketed himself as a free agent manager who was able to listen to whatever offers were out there. Craig Counsell did very well for himself. He has a very good reputation in the game, but he doesn't have a World Series ring, which Alex Cora does. So we'll see what that translates to on the open market if it gets that way, if it gets that far. But, yeah, Cora dedicated himself to getting in better shape, losing some weight, and he's training with his partner who is running the Boston Marathon next Monday, helping her get ready. So, he looks terrific.
Sean McAdam, who always looks and sounds terrific when he's with us. MassLive.com. Sean, thank you as always for making time for us, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
My pleasure, Rich. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Sean McAdam on Downtown.